And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. It's Friday. I'm Dave Dufour. Seth Partnow and Moda Killer are here. That means it's Nerder, she wrote. Guys, Drew Holiday has been traded. Damian Lillard's been traded. DeAndre Ayton's been traded. Yusuf Nurkic has been traded. It seems like we've been maybe over-focused on the Eastern Conference because of the movement there, right? Like, Milwaukee, they're the favorites now. But wait, the Celtics are also the favorites. So I was thinking we could talk about the West and the favorites in the West. Go ahead, Mo.
No. I just got to close the loop on all the trades there, because I've been saying for a long time Portland has won the trade, and they, even before they traded Dame, they've already won the trade or whatnot. I got news for you guys. I'm changing course. They've lost the trade. As soon as DeAndre Ayton said, Dominating. Yeah, no, they lost the trade. I'm sorry. Everything they got is trash. It's over. They've lost the trade. Done.
I mean, wait Dominating. A second, though. They he also got even, Rob Williams.
Nope. Dominating, Dave. Done. The dude has never played in a way that's domination at all. Mr. I'm going to pass up a dunk and go for a nice little fadeaway jump hook. Lost the trade. Done.
Amazing.
Final decision.
Amazing. So anyway, that aside, well, we know Portland. I mean, listen, Portland, they're not in the mix. They're not a contender in the West. But I do want to talk about the West, because they're the forgotten conference and they have the champs, the Denver Nuggets. All of a sudden, listen, how are the Denver Nuggets not everyone's favorite to win the title again this year? We just watched them dominate. They've got the best player in the league who should have won his third straight MVP. Jamal Murray looked amazing in the playoffs. And remember, he struggled coming back from his ACL tear to start the season. So he's going to be even better this year than he was last year. They should go back to back.
I think everybody's going too far overboard with how much losing Bruce Brown's going to hurt them.
I agree.
It's going to hurt them, but they make it seem like they lost Jokic. You know, or Murray. Like the way they're the element, like we've just, here's the honest truth. Don't nobody want to talk about Denver, Dave? That's just, that we just completely ignore them. We didn't want to do it last year when they were winning and on their way to the championship. Dave, nobody wants to talk about Denver. Like, that's just the honest truth about it. And we make this whole thing, oh, they lost Bruce Brown. They lost Jeff Green. Oh, I don't know how they'll ever recover. And it's
yeah,
like,
how many teams have, listen, Jeff Green has moved around a lot. All right, so teams lose Jeff Green all the time. And he was great for Denver. But, like, that's not necessarily
that's,
a death
That's
bell,
the dude. Aggregation right there. Teams lose there Jeff is. Green all the
they
time.
They lose Jeff Green all the time. I mean, but they've still got, again, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, they're big, which we know like is important. They're athletic. They can shoot. I mean, they're a really good basketball team. I mean, they bring back their starting five. They've got continuity, Seth.
So first of all, speaking of continuity, this is, we're now tipping off our fifth season together.
That's guys. Right.
This
5 years.
This is exciting. This.
Man, we're on halfway to the Fast and Furious franchise.
Never thought I'd be with Seth this long.
What, Modern Family went 11 seasons? We could do at least that.
Yeah. So part of it is, I think part of wanting to, why isn't Denver the winner, is we have this tendency of wanting to say, well, they won the title and that's the only thing that could have happened. When I think we've been talking about most of last year, even the year before that, about how kind of open it is. And like, does any team have more than about, you know, a 20% chance to win the title of any of this large group of teams? And I think it's the same going into this year. Should Denver be considered to have the highest probability among all the teams? You could maybe argue that, but it's still, there's no team that you're going to say is like, oh, you know, they're 40% to win the title. They're greater. They're odds on to win the title. There's nothing like that. Obviously nothing close to the Warriors during the KD years. So I mean, that's part of it, is there's too many teams to talk about and they kind of get lost in the shuffle of, you know, some teams made big moves and some teams come from different markets. And so we just kind of forget about them almost. We you know what we do? We pat them on the head and say nice championship and talk about everybody else.
Man, we've been patting this Nuggets team on the head for a while, but I mean, you know, again, they're very good. Is part of it because we know who they are? Is the continuities, I'm not going to say work against them, because this is, you know, about more about conversation than it is about actual on-court play. But is that it? Is it just I'm comfortable with them. I know what they're going to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, we didn't have a problem having those conversations with the Warriors, you know, and I think that's kind of one of those things. I think there's an element of like, yeah, look, we know what they're going to be. I'm fascinated to see how they're going to play this season and how they're going to go about it. Are they going to go, you know, foot on the gas pedal, go all out? You know, are they going to, hey, we're going to give Michael Porter Jr. a larger role and have him kind of play more on the offensive end, so to kind of take the pressure off the other guys and kind of develop that in our system and into our continuity and all of that stuff. It's like there's a lot of questions to ask about them. And yeah, they have to figure out how to replace Bruce Brown, you know, and I think that's going to be important. Can Christian Brown do that? You know, what are the young kids going to do? Like, there's a lot of interesting questions to talk about with Denver that I think is just kind of getting ignored. And I just think, again, it's as Seth says, you know, pat them on the head, brush them to the side. You know, let's talk about the other guys.
Should we talk about the other guys? I mean, it feels like all roads to the Western Conference championship, you know, to the finals. They're going to go through Denver one way or the other. Denver is for sure one of the top two teams in the West, I think, when it's all said and done.
Barring an injury, right? But just, yeah, to me, they're they're in a tier by themselves in the right. West. And then it's everybody else. Like, they're, to me, a guaranteed contender in the West.
Is it the Lakers? I mean, is that going to be the biggest challenge for them? I mean, they did just play, you know, they swept them in the conference finals. Lakers have a little bit of continuity carryover from last season, you know, a couple of changes here and there, but nothing huge to their core. And you know, presuming health for LeBron and Anthony Davis, which, you know, LeBron's getting up there, so you can't always just chalk that in there. I mean, but is it the Lakers or is it the Warriors? Who is it? Who's next?
You know who the Lakers are going to miss if they play Denver in the playoffs? They're going to miss Dennis Schroeder. Like, I think they had enough problems with Jamal Murray as it is. And we like Austin Reeves. I don't think that's a good matchup. We like D'Angelo Russell less. That's a worse matchup. So I think that's one of those. Now, that doesn't, that's a specific matchup, you know, fall off for them, but it's an important matchup.
I think that's a big one. I just don't know if this is going to be the final Laker team. You know, when you look at the kind of the signings that they made, the re-signings, you know, that they have, like D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura's combined can make a nice little package there. You know, obviously they don't have draft assets to really trade anymore. I mean, it's kind of funny in that sense, but like that, it wouldn't shock me if there's another move that they can make in the course of the season that'll help with that stuff. But that's not the roadblock team, I think, for the Nuggets. I think for me, it's the Warriors, you know, and I think, you know, they, as it worked out for Denver that the Lakers beat the Warriors, because I think the Warriors would have given them a much tougher run. I mean, Steph Curry stresses defenses. Just fact. Just he changes how you have to defend and how you're going to go about defending and whatnot. They're going to attack Jokic in pick and rolls, and he's been good defensively. It's different when it's Steph, though, right? Like, it's a whole different level of things. I think that's the team, you know, that I think is more of a roadblock for the Nuggets than the Lakers. Like, I look at the Lakers and I think they're just short guys. They're short, you know, one or two pieces that I would feel more comfortable with to say, like, hey, like, they're like kind of a contender, but not really a contender to me.
See, the Lakers may be short a few guys, but the Warriors to me have a few short guys, right? I just think that the Warriors are a little bit too small. Well, I just think the Warriors are a little bit too small. And like, Looney has done a good job guarding Jokic, you know, mostly. But not only being a little bit small, but then you have your best lineups have two non-shooters in Looney and Draymond Green. And that's just a bad combination.
The rebounding is a problem, but I think we make too much of just non-shooters. I think that Golden State has not really, I don't think they've really paid for Green not being a shooter, because he's such a good playmaker. He can do stuff with the ball in his hands. He and Steph and Clay have a shorthand, have a rhythm they can play with, where if you're laying off Green, they know how to, you know, when he kind of figured out in the finals a couple of years ago, when Boston was playing off him, he would catch the ball and he would hard drive the ball. Wouldn't drive it at the basket. He would sprint dribble directly at Steph or Clay. And that becomes a very tough thing to cover, because, like, you know, the second defender is sagging into the paint. I think that the Warriors are interesting because, you know, the cliche, styles make fights. And you say, yeah, Denver will have some advantages because they're big. But Golden State will have some advantages because of the way they can spread, you know, Denver out. And that's where it becomes interesting, is on the night in the series, which of those advantages becomes to the fore. And so that's an area where I think, like, the Lakers' kind of strength is that they're big also, and Denver's just better at that. So I think that that's where the you know, Golden State has the chip and a chair, and Phoenix a little bit also, but I think Golden State is going to be better at playing that way than Phoenix is, because they're going to be able to guard even if they can't rebound when they're kind of smaller.
Yeah. And just to go back to the non-shooter point, I think we're getting too obsessed. And I think teams are getting too obsessed with, we got to have all shooters on the floor and five out and da da da. Like, we're losing the plot here a little bit, in that sense of, like, you know, there's an important aspect to it. Like Seth just illustrated, like, you can get Draymond Green on the floor because he does so much for you offensively, but he also unbelievable defensively. Same Kevon Looney, you know, and what he does defensively is so valuable. You could survive with him as a non-shooter, but he's also a hell of a screen setter.
Yeah, I'm working on a theory here, by the way.
Well, hold.
Go ahead.
But I just think we get too lost in with the whole Ben Simmons stuff. I mean, granted, you know, this is way
he did
back
make 10 free throws in a row.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit. The whole concept, though, of, like, he can't shoot, he's not a player. It's like, yo, he does everything else for you. Rebounds, play makes, and defends. Like, we get so obsessed, and I think teams do too, so obsessed with worrying about spacing that they forget about all the other aspects of the game of basketball and what matters. And I think that's something I think I'm not worried about with the Warriors. And I think this lineup was one of the best starting lineups in the NBA when they were healthy and rolling. So I don't think this is a problem for me at all when I look at them in that sense.
You worry this about their not depth? I mean, Chris Paul, the young guys, maybe coming off the bench, I guess. Yeah. And
it's the young guys.
Moses Moody, Kuminga.
Can Moses Moody and Kuminga really kind of take the leap that the Warriors need them to? And if not, they need to move them, and they need to move them quick. And that ship might have sailed already on them. They might not get the value they want for that and get a piece for those guys. But they need those guys to bump up. But yeah, I'm worried about the depth, but I'm worried about the depth for a lot of teams. This is the league is spread out. There's not that much depth across the board.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
I think I like your point, Mo, that the teams are focusing at exclusion on just shooting. I think it's kind of always been that way. And like it being shooting is kind of, you know, the Steph era like obsession. And at times it was size, at times it was, you know, mid-sized playmakers. There's always been sort of a thing that is the hotness, and everyone thinks, oh, we need that. And it's really, it's sort of, there's one thing Denver's championship showed last year. It was like, you know, be the best at what you do. And that's going to, and if you have enough talent, that can be enough. Yeah, I mean, my question is there someone we're just sort of not paying attention to?
You know, Phoenix, there's, right?
I know. I think Phoenix is getting mentioned, but is there someone from like that New Orleans, Sacramento, Oklahoma City? I mean, I think we all are kind of like, ooh, OKC.
New Orleans is theoretical. You know, and New Orleans is very dependent on Zion, and then who their fifth guy is going to be. I think, you know, I'm not sure. Like, is it going to be Larry Nance? Is he going to be healthy? Zion's health is the biggest question mark for that team, though. I mean, were they a one seed when he got hurt last year?
One or two, but they were a force. Like, they were a team where all like, oh, okay.
So, I mean, I think that we're kind of at a place where they'd have to prove it, you know? I mean, not quite a prove it on a championship level, because I don't think they're that team, but prove it as in a top four in the West, for sure. I mean, if the Clippers are healthy, I think that they're going to be right there in the mix. I mean, we trust them on the court more than we trust them to actually stay healthy, and that's probably why we tend to overlook them. But to me, it's Phoenix. They just picked up Yusuf Nurkic, and I think that that's a bit of a downgrade from Ayton on an offensive standpoint, for sure. We'll see about the defense. They're not going to ask him to do a whole lot. He's going to probably just mostly play drop. But
they're not going to guard anybody anyway. So,
well, so that's the thing about Phoenix and why I think we tend to not take them seriously is the lack of defense. It's going to be, you know, they're going to win games purely by outscoring their opponent.
I think their effort defensively is going to be higher than you guys are expecting. One, Frank Vogel being a defensive minded coach is one thing. Two, they tried their asses off defensively in the playoffs. Like, this is the most intense I've seen Devin Booker defensively, really, at any point in his career. Like, locked into guys, rotating, switching, deflections all over the place. KD's better than people give him credit for defensively. Questions of health for sure. Beal, yeah, like, whatever. Grayson Allen, average defender, but like, he's gonna try. He's gonna make more effort in that sense. I just think and Nurkic wants to be a good defender. Nurkic wants to try defensively. I just don't think his body's where it's at. And I think that's gonna be the issue for them, is that they're just going to be so slow in the back line with Nurkic. That's the problem for me defensively. But like, I mean, they're still contenders. You got to talk about them. They're definitely a team. They can light it up.
I think you rightly are giving Devin Booker credit for his improvement on defense, but is that maybe means that in their likely steps, he might be the second best defender. And you know, their two best defenders are probably their two highest usage players also. So that's, that is, it, That's a tough one. It's a tough one to ask guys to, all right, you're going to have to shoot 30 times a game and be our best defender for, 2 months against every team that's game planning just for you on both ends. Could it happen? Sure. Is that a tough road? I think that's a pretty tough road.
What about the number two seed from last year? Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to go the first 25 games with no Ja Morant, but they did pick up Marcus Smart. They've got Derrick Rose. I mean, they've got guys. They're going to get through
games. You're using Derrick Rose as a positive?
I mean, they're going to get through those 25 games is what I'm saying. 25 regular season games is not 25 playoff games. I think they'll be better. Steven Adams will be out there. They'll be able to get back to their offensive rebounding. This team has been monstrous on the glass when Steven Adams has been out there, even with Jaren Jackson and the fact that he does not contribute to rebounding. Part of it because of the way he plays defense. But does Memphis have a shot in the West? We just don't take them seriously.
I honestly, Jaren Jackson might be the player who has the most to prove in the league. And there's nothing he can do to prove it until April and May. Like, I think that we had some fun with him and what happened in the World Cup. But I think kind of some of the issues in the World Cup were not different than some of the issues we've seen with him in the playoffs, where, as a five, he can get bullied and the foul trouble is, and he's got to show that he can be a top line guy who can play, give you 25 minutes at the five in a high level playoff matchup. All the things that Steven Adams, we love Steven Adams. I think that the ship has sort of sailed on Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson being a big minute playoff combo. I think they'll play some minutes that way, but I don't think they're going to close that way in most matchups. So you just, you wonder about, frankly, their defense as well. If he is not able to be kind of defensive player of the year effective in the playoffs because of the physicality and the foul trouble when he's asked to play that much five.
I'm going a different route. Same thing with Jaren Jackson, but it's on the offensive end. He's got to step up on the offensive end and actually really be a threat for them offensively and not just get the table scraps, right? Not just a pick and pop here and there, not just, offensive rebounds and a few possessions or whatnot. He needs to be a force for them offensively. And they actually really need it now with Ja out. When you look at the team now, the next 25 games, they're going to be pretty damn good defensively. I just don't know where the offense comes from that much. It's Desmond Bain. It's Ja Morant. I mean, it's a Jackson. It's Smart. They have Luke Kennard, who's going to shoot some threes for them and knock some down and stuff and all that. But they need him to show that growth more on the offensive end. And I think everything you said about his defense is correct. No notes on that. But I think it's more important that he shows stuff on the offensive end this season. And that's what the Grizzlies need to really put me in the point where I'm like, yeah, they can really contend.
I think Desmond Bane is going to have a massive, massive year on the
He started out last year on fire.
Yeah.
Started out and then got hurt and whatnot. But to be honest, it's hard though. Now, with 25 games, I'm putting my defensive pressure on Bane. Where's a lot of the scoring? Yes, I will let Marcus Smart shoot all the threes. Fine. Beats me, he beats me. But I'm putting my effort, my game planning, I'm focused on Bane.
What about Minnesota, guys?
The team currently whooping the crap out of Dallas in the first
preseason preseason game is happening while we're recording and Mo's clicking back and forth. How about Minnesota, guys?
that's the sigh of distrust, I think. We don't trust Rudy in the playoffs. We don't trust Kat, period. We want to trust Anthony Edwards, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
No, I mean, he had a great Team USA run and everybody's projecting a leap for him. I am as well, but this team still got to figure out who they are. You want to talk about continuity, Seth? They only got 29 games out of towns last year. They played pretty well in the playoffs and down the stretch, but they got to figure out how to play with each other. just those three. And if it can work, that's the question the front office has got to figure out. If it can work with those three, and then what do you do if it can't? And I think that's the important thing for them with this stuff. But also, like, they've never gotten out of the first round. Like, I'm not ready to say that they're a contender in that sense where I'm going to put them on the level with everybody else. Like, they still got a lot of work to do with what they have and so on. Like, it's going to be a minute, but they're going to be better than they were last year.
They
like,
have I think to people be better
are,
than last
I th- Well, I think just people are sleeping on them in that sense. I think they're going to be better, but like, I think putting them in this conversation in terms of contenders is probably too early.
They were, so I think they were sort of sneakily pretty good for kind of the second half of last season when they kind of, you know, when they basically did more putting the ball in Edwards' hands, and it was certainly a more comfortable when Towns was out to have it just sort of four out around Gobert. That was more comfortable for everybody, but I don't think that that's their best look, especially now that they have, you know, so much tied up in Naz Reid as well. So they kind of have to make it work playing two bigs a lot, two true bigs a lot. Are we like, can we really like, am I just going to be the hipster and constantly bring up the Thunder though?
Yeah, no, you are. Like, this is a team that's not like,
that's not a, I mean, listen, I a contender, I think we've been kind of playing fast and loose because obviously Minnesota is not like a championship contender, but at least someone that could be in the mix top four. I do think we're all getting a little too excited about Oklahoma City.
Way too excited. Everybody needs to slow their roll. Andrew Schleck, calm down. Like, it's all of this stuff. Like, everybody needs to relax when it comes to the Thunder. They're going to be good. They're going to be exciting. They're going to be the team we all want to watch. We still got to figure out, what does Chet Holmgren look like? Because that's a huge
skinny
piece for
you
them.
Look skinny.
Well, that ain't going to change. It's the same way as I look fat. It's you know, but what does he look like on the court? Does he provide the rim protection presence that they need and the rebounding that they need? Because that was sorely missed last year. What's it going to look like with Giddey? Can he play off ball? Can he make enough threes? Is his shot, his 3-point shot has improved from last year to this, the last two seasons. What will it be this year? Will it climb up again where teams can actually have to defend him? Or is he going to be a liability in that sense? And yeah, he's a great playmaker, but he's also not good defensively. So then it really begins to hurt you having him on the floor in that sense. You begin to start trying to figure those things out. And I think it's just, we're all excited about the Thunder. Here's the thing people just got to stop doing. We got to stop zooming past the process of everything. You got to make the playoffs. You got to win a series. Like, let's start worrying about that and focused on that for them instead of talking about them as a top four team. Like, I think this is, you know, the stuff that we get lost. Just because Sacramento did it last year doesn't mean another team's going to do it this year. The West is fucking stacked.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back.
We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
It's a ridiculous year in the West. There's going to be good teams that aren't going to make the play-in tournament.
And Sacramento, by the way, is going to be good again. So, you know, there's not going to be that much room for upward movement, I think, from the bottom part. I expect the Lakers to be in the top six, maybe even top four. But other than that, I mean, it's going to be teams fighting for scraps. I mean, we're looking at a potential another season where the Mavericks don't make the playoffs. So I don't think it's a given that Oklahoma City is even in the play-in.
It was a choice last year, Dave.
Yeah, it was a choice last year, right? They chose from day one to miss the playoffs by a couple of games. But the thing about Oklahoma City, I've got some concerns because it seems like they want to play a little small as the league is getting big. And playing small with like younger guys, I don't know. Like Chet is going to be playing a lot of five for them. And he's an undersized five.
But their small guys are big though.
Are kind of big. I know.
Yeah.
And yeah. Some of them, like, they might be too big.
Both Jalen Williams are big. Giddey is 6'8".
Yeah.
Shea is big.
So maybe it's more like they're playing medium size than small. So I don't know, but we'll see how it works out defensively.
It can work. It really can. I mean, I think they have guys like Dort, you know, Williams, and those guys are solid defenders in that sense. But like, you know, it's just too early, man. Like, how many games have they really played that mattered over the past 3 years? Like that's important there. Last year was the first year where games mattered for them. And I think, winning games mattered for them. The previous years, losing games mattered more to them, and that's an organizational shot. They got to learn how to play in these games. You know, we had to see it in Memphis growing up. We had to see Phoenix grow up and Devin Booker kind of evolve into that. We watched it in Sacramento last year. Like, there's a process to all of this stuff. And even Sacramento, they still got bounced in the first round. Like, well, it's that simple.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sacramento. Because Sacramento, again, they were a great surprise last year. They were the 3 seed. You mentioned that, you know, the Warriors knock them out, but they led in that series. You know, the Warriors had to come back. You guys, what's going to be the secret for Sacramento kind of getting over the hump? Let's just say, you know, make it to the second round of the playoffs. They got to figure out that center position, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know if there's a better example in the league of the difference between an all-star level regular season player and a playoff, I don't know, than Domantas Sabonis. That's his centrality to that team, no pun intended, is I don't know how we answer that question. We certainly don't answer that question in the regular season, because in the regular season, he's a very good player. I think if you want to say, like, where does that jump come from? It's like, is there more that does Keegan Murray, who was surprisingly ready to contribute in a very defined role as a rookie, can he expand? And that's maybe where maybe they find a way to make Sabonis less integral in a playoff setting. If they get more from the perimeter attack of Fox and Murray and whoever else.
I mean, I think Keegan Murray is the key to the season. To be honest with you, we know what you're going to get from Fox. We know Sabonis needs to be better in the playoffs, and he can only prove it to us in May. He's another one of those guys with Jaren Jackson in that regard. But like, they need to diversify their offense a little bit, and I think it needs to be Keegan Murray, the guy that they kind of turn to in a third option, sort of tweak the offense and let him go in some ways. And I think there's a lot of that stuff, and I think this is a team that's going to have to experiment with that in the regular season. And that might come with a couple of you know, head scratching games and some losses and whatnot. But that's something that they have to really figure out. And I think that's going to be the scenario for them. Like, if they're really going to take that next step, they do need that third scorer. And I'm looking at Keegan Murray.
That's actually a fascinating dynamic in the West. And then that division, you look in that division, it's the LA teams, Golden State, Sacramento, and it's a Phoenix.
I mean, Royal Rumble in itself, like that, yeah. Could be five playoff teams, yeah. Right there.
It makes you almost long for the old NHL system of you know, the Adams division title or something. There are a lot of teams that probably do need to maximize playoffs, do need to do some experimentation in the regular season. The question is, can they afford to?
Yeah.
Like, can Dallas afford to try stuff, to figure stuff out, or are they just going to be on the edge? Sacramento, we saw the Lakers almost screwed around and found out last year before, like, you know, making some trades and finding something. So that's a really interesting dynamic, in that there will probably be a team or three that kind of knows that the way that they can grind out regular season wins isn't really going to work in the playoffs, but they make the decision, well, we'll get there and then maybe we'll figure something out, but let's just make sure we get there first.
And that's an important thing. Like, they have to make sure they get there, right? Like, you can afford to tick off a few games if you're confident you're going to make the playoffs. But it's also like, well, when you get there, what are you going to do? And that's the hardest thing. And then that's what makes the West so insane this year. Like, honestly, the two worst teams in the West are going to be the teams that are tanking, right? San Antonio, they're not going to be good. And Portland. And I think that's really where we're at with that. It's, you know, 13 teams. Houston's going to be better. We don't know what New Orleans is going to be health-wise. You know, like, across the board, when we look at all of these teams, we're just like, damn, man, like, the play-in tournament, the race to the play-in tournament is going to be absurd in the West.
Utah's probably going to be better this year.
Utah's
right?
Going to be better.
There were rumors Utah was in on Drew Holiday. So Utah, they think they're ready to take a step forward, because that's not a player you try to acquire if you're not.
I mean, they have a billion draft picks in the future. They've got some good players on the roster already. I think Utah could be in the mix for the play-in, and maybe they're a buyer, you know, in the season.
Who are the sellers going to be, though? The sellers are all going to be in the East.
That's a whole other question. East.
I mean, the Eastern Conference is a whole train wreck.
Well, the top of the East, well, that's kind of settled. We already know
both teams.
Yeah. You guys got anything else before we wrap this up?
Just dominating.
Scoot Henderson, we are official. Fast, though,
we are officially so out on giving yourself a nickname.
Yeah, no nicknames. Self-appointed. That doesn't work. Okay. Well, for Seth Partnow and Mona Keel, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been Nerder, She Wrote, on the Athletic NBA Show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.